Do you ever feel like you're always on? Your phone is blowing up with notifications, you have commitments to friends and family, and not to mention work. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. It's a crisp and refreshing beer that even tells you it's cold when the mountains on the bottles and cans turn blue. When I need to hit reset, I grab a Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/BlueWire. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to another episode of Swings and Mishes. We are back after the week off, and this is actually our first episode of August with both me, Jeremy Taché, your co-host and producer, and Craig Mish, our host. Craig, how you doing on this Friday morning?
It is great to talk to you, Jeremy, and of course, congratulations on your great new podcast, which I see is blowing up in a big way on podcasts and on video as well, and very well deserved. And so, you know, here I am in a forced retirement. There's just no reason for me to continue anymore. You've basically outgrown us here at Swings and Missions. No. So congratulations to that. And thank you everyone for listening all these years.
Oh
and
my gosh, stop. You're going
to just pivot over to Jeremy's stuff. There's really everybody. At this point, we're old news here at Swings and Missions.
Oh, stop. Well, thank you so much, Craig. I really do appreciate it. And obviously Miami Mic'd Up would not exist without Swings and Missions, and Swings and Missions still is happening. Please do not scare everyone into thinking that we're gone. So that being said, we have not spoken here on Swings and Mishes since the day after the trade deadline. We spoke on July 31st just about those trades. But since then, the Marlins have obviously been a bit up and down at the major league level. They're 7-13 since the trade deadline. And while there are a couple of good series for them in there, taking 3 out of 4 against the Mets, sweeping the Cubs, there's also a lot of losses. They were swept by the Yankees. They were swept by the Colorado Rockies, and now most recently swept by the Atlanta Braves. Craig, I would just sort of love your state of the union here on where things are at the major league level for Marlins baseball.
Yeah, I think that there's probably a reason that I have not been here and been participating nearly as much, which basically, the trade deadline was definitely very interesting and compelling. And I think that some of what I've reported will be able to circle back in a few months on the winter on, no doubt about that. But essentially at that point, I felt like, and some of it was necessary in terms of making the trades, like trading Starling Marte and trading Yimi Garcia. Those things were expected and got done. I thought maybe more trades honestly would have happened, like some of their other relief pitchers, but I suppose they either didn't get enough or they thought that those pitchers could still help them for the rest of the season. And, you know, I'm not really sure what ended up happening there. But to me, it really signaled the end. It signaled the white flag being raised. And I know that there were some comments made essentially that this was not a team that was selling, but a team that was still trying to get better. And I just didn't buy any of that after seeing the moves that were made. So for me at that point, it's kind of like I have to make a decision as well, both professionally and personally, which I still very much enjoy doing these without question. It has been almost 6 months of us doing this every single day and doing it essentially with a team on the field in 2021 that's been an absolute failure. So I had to sort of, you know, kind of reassess, you know, where I'm at and where things are at. And I certainly will still be covering the team as I have, or maybe a little bit less. But my primary gig, I think most people know this by now, is working for Sports Grid every day from 12 to 2 Eastern. And it's a very important job for me. It's both on podcast and live on radio and on television. And I love what we've created here at Swings and Mishes. And I certainly love the idea that both professionally and personally, you and I have been able to do so many great things based on doing this.
Yeah.
But the product on the field is so poor that, you know, it's super disappointing for me. It's super disappointing to have to do these every week and constantly talk about the reality of where the situation is with the team losing as much as they have been on the major league side. And it's not to say that there aren't some positive things happening, but it's just been an overwhelming negative in 2021. And rather than come beat that into the ground on this podcast every single week, I took a couple of weeks off and let you guys handle some of the positive and the negative. So winter will come and I'll certainly be right back at it. But you never want to have that feeling of the dog days of September on the 2nd of August. But that was the reality for me. And so taking a little bit of a step back over the next couple of months is probably the best thing for me.
Yeah, and realistically, this team did take a bit of a step back at the major league level at that trade deadline. One way or another, when Adam Duvall and Starling Marte are not in your lineup anymore, you're not as good as you were before that. And so now the Marlins do have three additional players who now we've seen a couple of weeks of baseball from. They traded for Jesus Luzardo in that Starling Marte trade. They traded for Brian De La Cruz from Houston in the Yimi Garcia trade. And obviously they traded Adam Duvall for Alex Jackson, the catcher who had been in Atlanta. Craig, what are your initial takeaways on those three players in particular now that we've seen them for a few weeks in Marlins uniforms?
Yeah, I think we'll start off with the best trade of the three, which is the acquisition of Brian De La Cruz, who I think that everyone is way too excited about. That definitely is the case because
I'm one of them.
He's essentially been the only one performing consistently from that start until now. De La Cruz is going to be a major league outfielder. I don't know if he'll be a starter, but the way that I would describe De La Cruz in a perfect world is when the bleep hits the fan in 2022, because naturally it will. This is what happens in Major League Baseball. Players get hurt. The notion that the Marlins are going to have 26 guys, they're all going to be healthy all next season, and things are going to be healthier next year than this year, is probably a fallacy. Same sort of things are going to happen. It's baseball. Ronald Acuna Jr., out for the season. Yep. Mike Trout basically hasn't played. Those are your best two players in baseball this year. Juan Soto, maybe he's number three. Take a look at his numbers in the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. So the notion that next year everything is just going to be perfect for the Marlins and all their players are going to be healthy and be great is not true. Things are going to happen. What does De La Cruz do? He provides you an excellent insurance policy, mm-hmm. somebody that probably can start 2-3 days a week. And when you have somebody that is injured in the outfield, he can step right in and fill in for you for a week or two. I don't know in terms of him being a starter at the big league level. I certainly would not count on that going into 2022. But they have had no insurance policies whatsoever in the outfield the last couple of years. And to me, he provides one in either a platooning situation or the fourth outfielder, a major league fourth outfielder on the team next year. So that is a massive positive because Yimi Garcia, I was never really a fan of.
Yeah.
And honestly stunned that they could even get anything back in return for him. I thought that that was a really well trade that was executed very well. Maybe Yimi does well. We'll watch him in the postseason for Houston for sure. Okay. So now on to the negatives, which are the Marte trade and then the Duvall trade. So Starling Marte, you know, clearly had to be traded. Everybody understands that because, well, he didn't have to be traded. The Marlins could have offered him more money and sure. kept him here, but they chose not to. That's, you know, another story altogether probably. But yes, I am disappointed with that. By the way, I want to make something clear on that.
Yeah.
The Marte, them not signing Marte was not about not having the money. This was about a choice that mm-hmm. they made, and we'll have to judge that in the offseason when he inevitably does get 4 years and $45 or $50 million from somebody else, and then we'll let that contract play out, and God willing, in 4 years we'll come back here and we'll take a look at on swings and misses and see what Marte is doing and decide whether or not it was worth it.
Right.
They decided it was not worth it. They have the money to do it. Make no mistake about it. They could have easily done it. They chose not to do it. So I want to be clear on that. That was a choice, not a money situation, although I guess it always is a money situation when you decide not to pay somebody. I honestly at this point have not reported any other potential deals for Starling Marte because I'm just at this stage not aware of them, haven't really poked, to be honest with you. I will do that, but I've taken a little bit of a step back, as I mentioned. In terms of getting Jesus Luzardo, it is now all going to be on next season. Like that's mm-hmm. basically, I have seen enough this year to know that he is a non-factor and a non-contributor in any positive way, in my opinion, in 2021. He looks completely lost pitching. He is nowhere around the plate at different times of the game. They have had a pretty good track record of developing pitchers, and I see a lot of folks talking about that. While that is indeed the case, they're probably hitting about a 70 or 80% rate. I want to make sure everyone understands it is not 100%. Nick Neider is not 100%. Braxton Garrett is not 100%. Those guys are also in the organization that have not been developed in a way that you'd like to see them as major league players. Everybody else has. Trevor Rogers, Eliezer Hernandez, Sandy Alcantara, Pablo Lopez, all these young kids of the minors who are doing well. But again, Jorge Guzman, no good, right? But this is not an exact science. You are not hitting on 100%. Maybe Lizardo is part of that 70% or 80%. Maybe he's part of the other. I don't know the answer to that. We'll find out about him next year, Jeremy.
Yep.
But to this point, am I concerned? Of course I am. I have seen nothing that this guy had shown a couple of years ago. But of course, it is too early to judge whether the trade's a success or a failure. We're going to determine that next year. But to me, at this point, I don't know why. Why is it that the Marlins can't get a proven commodity in a trade that can help you win right now? Like, where is the De La Cruz trades? Like, I know with a lot of these, we have to wait 2 or 3 years. Why is it that we cannot get a trade with this club where they make a deal, the guy comes back and starts and he's a monster, or he hits and he's a monster? Why does that not happen in 4 years? I don't know, but this is another one of those trades where we're going to have to wait and see the result on that. And then fine. And I know we differ on him too. And then finally you have the Adam Duvall trade for Alex Jackson, which to me, I don't believe was a good trade. I think they should have at least approached Duvall on potentially staying. The Marlins and Detroit Tigers are a really interesting comparison in terms of where their rebuilds are. For those of you who are listening, I would encourage you to go back and take a look at the trajectory for both of those teams. And I think in the Herald, we're going to do that. And Detroit, as an example, had a very similar player on their roster this year. His name is Jonathan Scope. Mm-hmm. They went through the trade deadline. Tigers fans were like, why in the world did you not trade this guy? You should have. And no one knew. They ended up extending him for a couple of years. A veteran player, leadership in the clubhouse, someone who can change the game with one swing, doesn't necessarily impact the game in a lot of different ways. Duvall's a better defender, by the way, than Jonathan Scope, too, who's only playing first base at this stage of his career. Interesting how the Tigers and Marlins are sort of headed in terms of their builds and rebuilds. And I am unfortunately saddened that the Tigers look like they're in a better spot right now than Miami, unless something happens in the offseason that I see differently. Duvall, for all the things that are said about Miguel Rojas being a great clubhouse leader, being a great guy, which are all true, by the way, Adam Duvall had a similar impact on that team, and very disappointing to see him discarded, really at the last minute. And then from there, Jeremy, all kinds of bleep broke loose here. We've got Alfaro playing left and first base, and Jackson playing sometimes. Leon not catching, only pitching. Like, I have no idea what in the world is going on here. In
that five-pitch inning from Leon, though. I mean, glorious.
We got Leon pitching. He doesn't catch anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just, it is baffling to me, some of these things. You have three catchers on there. Like, and Jackson, by the way, who I don't think will end up being a starting catcher, definitely could be a backup. I think that could be, he could be a tandem backup with somebody else. He plays, obviously he's a good defender. And there's a lot of catchers who hit 210 and hit 8 home runs in the big leagues. And it's probably who Alex Jackson is, but he'll be a better backup catcher than probably anybody that they've had. That's true. But he's not, I don't think he's a starter going into next year. So, but yeah, I mean, so Jackson is being given a chance, and then that's at the expense of Alfaro, who is in left, and then he's in first. And try and figure this stuff out. I just have no idea. And, Leland Diaz doesn't get to play, and he's in the minors. Everyone's asking me where he is, Jeremy. I have no idea. I wish I had the answers to all of these things, but I certainly don't. It's just been a strange year for this team from beginning to end. Some of the decisions and the execution of this stuff, to me, it's been just disappointing from start to finish. Mm. But I guess my summary is it looks like the De La Cruz trade was good. We'll have to reserve further judgment on Luzardo. And the Duvall trade, I don't even understand. Like, I don't understand that one at all. So that's kind of where I'm at with those.
Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. And I love it because Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources that were once reserved for big businesses. So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. I don't talk about it a ton, but I have a fishing company. 5 years ago this month, my best friend Aaron and I started a bass fishing weight company called Woo Tungsten, because woo is the sound you make when you catch a giant bass. So we sell tungsten weights for bass fishing, and Shopify has made it so incredibly easy. They have all the tools and the resources that we need. No matter how big or small your business is, they just make it so effortless. And like mine, Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses from first sale to full scale. And you can reach customers online and across social networks with their ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. And you can gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond, which is something we use a ton. More than just a store, Shopify grows with you. Go to shopify.com/bluewire, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business today with Shopify. Go to shopify.com/bluewire. Right now, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Shopify.com/BlueWire.
Get on Team Shaq with WinBet. We're playing parlays, boosting odds, and laying the wildest prop bets. Don't miss another game. Download the WinBet sports betting app today.
Sign up today and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 first-time wager on a straight bet or parlay. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Yeah, I mean, just to add a little bit of my own sort of thoughts here, I was surprised on your reporting about Duvall and the fact that they never discussed a further extension, because he has been a player who had contributed at such a high level for Miami. I mean, he'd had over 20 homers, over 80 RBIs. He had been contributing at that level. On the flip side, when you do look at De La Cruz and Jackson going forward, if you remove these three players, Luzardo, De La Cruz, Jackson, from the trades that were made for them, and you look at, okay, if De La Cruz and Jackson are your fourth outfielder and your backup catcher, you've provided some depth, like you mentioned before, to where when bleep hits the fan, sort of like it did this season, you're not in such a level of panic. And remember, we saw that stretch in June where when stuff started to hit the fan and this team had been playing okay before that, it was this stretch of losing 10 out of 11 and losing to the Pirates and all these things, because there was no depth. There was nobody to step up and at least be replacement level good when the starters went down. So to be in a position going into next year where at least you know some of that depth is there at a couple positions, but you're not going to compete at a higher level unless you do make these moves that we talked about at the deadline to acquire those high-level players to play, whether that's center field, whether that's catcher. This roster is currently constructed, cannot be the only players going into next season. And then obviously, you know, with Jesus Luzardo, like you mentioned, it's four starts at the major league level. This guy was struggling mightily when you traded for him. So there's no difference in who he was in Oakland and who he is right now. It's just about seeing whether the Marlins can sort of have that reclamation project that, you know, we've seen them develop players from the minor league level to the major league level. We haven't seen them now have a position like this where guy who was a superstar prospect who came up and struggled at a big level at the major league level, sent back down to work on some more. So we'll see if they're capable of doing that.
I think we have had that. I think Lewis Brinson.
I meant for pitchers. I meant for pitchers in particular. Okay. Yeah, that's Lewis Brinson is the ultimate example. Lewis Brinson playing at the level he's playing at over the last month has been such a wonderful surprise.
Not anymore, though.
I mean, he's no. just
that completely ended. I don't know if
I mean, it was a few games. He's hitting 300 for a month.
I know. I don't think he got a hit in the last week or so.
Yeah, he's in a bad series. Nonetheless.
Yeah, I guess. Look, I could take the opposite approach and say he had one good month. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I'm happy that Lou had that little breakout or whatever it was that probably has earned him a chance to make the team next year. I think he's arbitration eligible, so it would make sense that they'll tender him and bring him in and let him compete to be, you know, like De La Cruz, to be a fourth or fifth outfielder.
Exactly.
But I don't know without playing time every day that he'll get that. It seemed like
That's
the
fair.
Only shot that he had. But remember also, Jeremy, games in Colorado, games against the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for the individual there.
Yeah.
But I think that people got way too excited seeing those offensive performances, specifically against those two teams. And I know he did well in San Diego. I'll give him credit for that. But the Rockies, the Cubs, you know, horrible pitching staffs. And the Cubs to me were that was the worst team that I've seen in a long, long time.
Oh my gosh, it was embarrassing.
I mean, I don't know. I feel really bad for those fans. I don't think they had a single player in their opening day lineup play against the Marlins. Not
they
one.
They didn't have from the starters, I believe, and I could have this slightly off, but I believe from the starters that they had just the last time they played the Marlins, 7 of the 8 starters were different.
Like, yeah. I think Bodie may have been on the team, but beyond that, they, on that first game, I think that they had no one from opening day starting. And then Saturday game, they just literally gave the game
they
to the Marlins.
They decimated their roster.
I think they've committed 3 errors in 1 inning. Anyway, but look, you can only play who's against you. And Miami gets those wins. I understand it. But what happened is I think, at least from what I saw, people got like so excited after beating the Cubs, thinking that was like something. And then I was on some radio. Well, it was Defoe's show on Monday. And, you know, they were excited, too, because they have like this. They got to get the Marlins over 71 wins. And they asked me, like, so do you think that this carries over this week? And I'm like, no, I think they're going to get absolutely hammered against Atlanta and Cincinnati. But, you know, I just think that it's just a crucial offseason. I mean, that's just really the bottom line. I think the deadline provided, at least I provided, some insight as to, you know, what potentially that they could be looking at. But, you know, until they sort of, and I don't think it's happening even now, but until they sort of, something that I've mentioned before, in move on completely from things that don't work, until this organization does that, I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, because that just basically means, and I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say hypothetically, Jesus Luzardo, I know you don't want this, Jeremy, but let's say next year he's the same. He is the same. I mean, it's possible. Let's give it a 20% chance.
It's not impossible.
That Luzardo is exactly the same. So you're telling me that because they traded him for Starling Marte and the trade is a failure, that they're going to give him 25 starts like that because of that trade? Like, I mean, that's the puzzling thing to me that still goes on. And I suppose when the games don't matter, like they are right now, you can put Alfaro at left and play Eason Diaz and give Lou another shot. Like, I suppose you can do that. But in the end, you have to sell tickets to these games. You have to give hope that 2022 is going to be a season on the field that people are going to want to go to. And I see so many people that follow me on social media. No, got to give Brinson another chance. No, got to give De La Cruz. And then my response is, and it's going to be for the next month, are you buying tickets to these games? Are you attending these games and spending your $100 on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday to go? The answer is no every time, because you don't care. You're home. You're tweeting. You don't give a bleep. It's like, I would love to see De La Cruz get more opportunities. Yeah, on TV. On TV. That's not bringing people to the park. You're going to have to make some big moves in the offseason to draw people in. Yes, the experience of going to baseball games is amazing. It's been amazing for me and my family. We've gone to a ton of games this year with my son, with my daughter, with me and my wife. We've gone as fans a lot. But that's us. That's the host of Swings and Misses. That's not the average person who is looking at. They're going to look at the record and they're going to go, oh, you know, the Marlins lost 93 games. Why should I go next year? you got to sell people on that. It's such a big element to this that I don't think Jeremy is talked about enough, where it is so easy to kick the can down the road and hope Lizardo is good and hope this player is good in 3 years or 4 years or 2 years. But Miami is a market that's been very finicky with their fans, and the fans have not always rallied with their 2 feet walking to the ballpark and putting down the money for the tickets. And so, you know, the trust, I would not say the trust has been broken. I would not say that is the case, because I still feel like there are some really good people in the Marlins organization and people that I do feel will be part of this long term. But next year it is put up or shut up, man. Like that's basically it. And not put up or shut up Jeremy winning the World Series or right. even winning 90 games, but like this cannot happen again. I mean, it cannot. And mm-hmm. Don Mattingly next year cannot tell us we're not going to lose 90-100 games this year, because Donnie, you did it again, man. Like it happened. So, you know, I don't want to hear any excuses next year except for competitive baseball, better baseball. And I'm not counting on that the next couple of months, but I gotta get back to that next year. I don't know. And if a fifth year of this, Jeremy, I'm going to have a hard time with it.
You know, this team is not competing at a very high level at the major league level at the moment. And, you know, there's only about a month and a half left of this season, and we're getting close to September where, you know, despite seeing some of the familiar names right now, maybe in September we will start to see some of those others. As we head to September, Craig, what names are you expecting to see with the Marlins once we get to that final month of the season?
Well, I was told Lewin Diaz could be the next Carlos Delgado, but he's still sitting in AAA. So I would suppose that if that's a comparison of a player, I would certainly love to know, Jeremy, if he can be the starting first baseman on opening day next year. I've reached the point now where I can safely say I have no idea.
Right.
I have no clue. They did not give him a chance. So going into next year, he'll probably end up being the starting opening day first baseman, and we'll be guessing as to whether or not this is a good player or not. Why? Because of their refusal to give him playing time this year. I understand they have Jesus Aguilar there. Very clearly, yes. Jorge Alfaro can play left field and play first base, can maybe move Aguilar to third, move Anderson to right. I don't know. I see a lot of wacky things happening to give other players some playing time. Maybe that's what should happen with Lewin Diaz, but I would love to see him play two straight weeks, Jeremy, 3-4 days a week. Yeah. I would, and in September it won't matter anymore. So we've kind of reached the end, but that's what I would have loved to see. So that is one player I would guess we'll see in September. They are going to have two extra spots, I think, from 26 to 28. Mm-hmm. Another player who I think that we will see, I think Kim Eng alluded to this, was Edward Cabrera. Mm-hmm. So he'll make his major league debut in all likelihood in September. I guess the hope is he'll get 3 or 4 starts. Naturally, if he pitches very well, people will be excited and say he's great. And if he doesn't, people will say, it was at the end of the end. They'll make an excuse of some kind. I'm just excited to see him pitch because he's arguably their top pitching prospect that's not in the major leagues right now. Yeah. So that's the second player too. And then the third player that clearly deserves an opportunity, but still has yet to get one, is Bryson Brigman, who has just been sitting in AAA having a really nice season, and the Marlins have not given him an opportunity all year, and they continue again to play players that are not part of their future. Brigman may not be as well. He could come up, Jeremy, and go 0-for-40. Very possible that could happen, but I don't know if I don't see the kid play. But I know that they've been willing to call up and DFA Devin Marrero 7 times over the last 3 months. Why? Don't have the answer. Don't know. So those are those three players that I personally, if you're asking me, would like to see: Lewin Diaz, Edward Cabrera, and give Bryson Brigman a chance in the major leagues. I think Brian Miller got 24 hours, but maybe Bryson Brigman could get 48 hours.
I totally agree that I'd love to see all three of those guys. And very selfishly, just to have them around, would love to see Eddie Alvarez back at the major league level, because that guy, I just want to give him a second here just to shout out, multiple time medal winner at the Olympics, to have won silver medals in both speed skating and baseball is just a remarkable accomplishment. It was cool to have him around the ballpark the other day. He was there to sort of celebrate with his family and friends, and it was cool to see him. So Eddie Alvarez, congratulations to you. But yes, Bryson Brigman, Edward Cabrera, and you know, seeing anybody else that can get called up
with Lewin Diaz.
Lewin Diaz, obviously. Yeah, I obviously just got lost there. But seeing Lewin Diaz.
You forgot who he was already. He's been.
Yeah, I mean, Lewin, it's, you know, we've seen Lewin. To see Lewin come back up and play pretty consistently. But Craig, any sort of last news and notes here before we do wrap up this episode of Swings and Misses?
Yeah, just like I said at the beginning, appreciate everybody's support throughout the year. It's a lot more fun when a team is winning. It's a lot more fun when you can invest your time and your money into a winning product. And I still remain hopeful for that. Yeah, I definitely, without a doubt, in the last few weeks, come off pretty negative and upset. And that just tells you, you know, how transparent I am about this and how I feel about it. This podcast and my coverage, I would prefer to cover a winning team. That is the bottom line. I would prefer, it is in my best interest and everybody's best interest here for all the work that we do at Swings and Misses with all the people that we have doing work and that I pay to do work. That we have a winning product here. Yeah. And I am really the difference, I guess, going into next year is I'm going to be hopeful as opposed to optimistic. I think that's probably the biggest change. It's not that I'm going to be negative going into next year, but I've gone from thinking that this was on the right track to not really being sure and now have to be hopeful about it. So 2 months left of the season, we'll continue to carry on. As soon as the season's over, we probably will do a season wrap up. And my guess is, you know, on a team that loses 100 games, Jeremy, in general, there are coaching changes there. You know, there just has to be. There always are. We'll cover those for you as well. And then provided there is a winter meetings in Nashville, I will be covering that in what is going to be a critical time for awesome. The franchise in the offseason. So, again, most importantly, congratulations to you on all of your endeavors. I think that that's, you know, awesome what you've been able to do. And I'll probably enjoy listening to your stuff and watch your stuff more than my stuff. I think I'll feel better about yours than mine. That's for sure.
Well, you guys certainly know I will be relentlessly positive all the time, which is almost annoying to a fault. But here I am just being that guy. Through the rest of August and into September, we will obviously have you covered here on Swings and Misses. If you don't already, follow us on whatever podcast platform you listen to this on. Give us a 5-star rating, write us a review, and we will talk to you next week, Swings and Misses fans. All right, Swings and Misses fans, we actually wanted to take a second this week to talk to the CEO and founder of Ticket Rev, our new title sponsor here at Swings and Misses, Jason Schatzky. So Jason, why don't you take just a second to let the folks listening know what Ticket Rev is all about?
Yeah, absolutely, Jeremy, and thank you so much for having me. First and foremost, I'm a Marlins fan, just like your audience. Have been living up in Palm Beach County. That's where I grew up. And so the idea for Ticket Rev came from being a Miami sports fan and a Marlins fan. And so essentially, our mission with Ticket Rev is to make it easier to both buy and resell tickets to your favorite live events. The way it works is we're actually the first reverse marketplace. So buyers create bids on events, enabling sellers to find a matching bid and accept and sell that ticket instantly. So we've launched down here in Miami, focused on Marlins, among other events in the South and Central Florida region, and hope to earn the business and the trust of Marlins fans.
I personally think what you're doing is great. We've already had a couple of Swings and Misses listeners reach out to us and let us know that they enjoyed the process of working with you and working with Ticket Rev. But how specifically can our listeners here on Swings and Misses benefit from using your site?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll break it down individually for both sellers and then for buyers.
Perfect.
So for sellers, if you're a Marlins season ticket holder, or you have tickets for a game you can't go, if you maybe you cashed in your season ticket vouchers, want to get rid of them, you can come on Ticket Rev. You can view the available bids. And when you find one that matches the section in the row of your ticket, you can accept that bid instantly. If you've ever attempted to list on StubHub or post it on Facebook or your Instagram story or Twitter, and you just can't find a buyer, I know how much that frustration builds up. TicketRev.com, find the event, find a matching bid, accept it, and transfer your tickets. There's no waiting, there's no listing, there's no determining the price, there's no competition. It's so easy and it's so quick. On the other hand, for buyers, I'll give you an example. Jeremy, you and I want to go to a Marlins game next week. We create a bid for two tickets anywhere in sections 8, 9, and 10 in those letter rows A through J. We put an offer up for $50 each ticket. Now a seller with tickets in that location can come and sell them instantly. So there's more flexibility and more power for the buyers. And sellers have that instant sale capability. And we're finding really successful transactions happen and just creating an experience and a product that's meaningful for everyone.
Well, and Swings and Mishes listeners, you guys can use the promo code SWINGS on TicketRev for $10 off your first purchase as a buyer. And I know Jason and I are working together here to create something special for sellers as well. Jason, anything here right at the end, you just want to get in a couple sentences, wrapping things up for our listeners?
Yeah, even better. The promo code SWINGS actually gets you $20 off your first.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll add is that we're a local startup, we're a new company. And like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we just want to earn your business and your trust and your support. You can DM us on Instagram at TicketRev, that's TicketRev. You can find me on Twitter personally at Jay Shatsky, J-S-H-A-T-S-K-Y, or at TicketRev. If you have any questions or need help or want to work with us, just send us a note, send me a note. We're rewarding our frequent sellers and actually lowering their commission. So if you want to try selling with us, we charge an 8.5% commission, but as your sales volume increases, we'll continue to lower that for you. So we're super excited to be here and hope to work with everyone soon.
All right. So use that promo code SWINGS for $20 off. Swings and Mishes fans, Jason, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.